it says it's recording. I think that's what it looks like.
Yeah, that's
welcome to the Graceful Grizzly Podcast. My name is Mauricio. With me, as always, my amazing co-host, Tyler.
Hey, what's up, Grizzly Nation? How you guys doing?
All right, so for the audio listeners, this is not going to be too different, but for the visual listeners now, guys, we are doing a Zoom. We are not in the same room because it just feels like we needed a break from each other.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the virus. It had nothing to do with the foot of snow that we got last night. Mostly, we can't stand being in the same room, to be honest.
No. No, but I it really was because of the foot of snow. Man, my back is, I'm telling you, a shovel. Yeah. Some snow. This Florida boy does not know how to snovel. I'm pretty sure snovel. What is snovel? Shovel snow. I think that people were just making fun of me the whole time while I was shoveling snow this morning. They were like, who's that guy? What's he doing? Why is he licking the snow?
What's he doing? Why is he using that? Like, what is that? That's not a shovel. What is he doing over there? Yeah, well, you've gotten used to the snow, I think, at this point, probably. We have some fun memories though, going back to like your first snowstorm when we used to live in the same apartment and
yes.
Oh my gosh, dude. Like, what's it like?
You dug me out of the snow. Like you literally came out with your giant shovel and I had bought a tiny, Walmart shovel and you were the nicest person I've ever met and said, oh, it's all right. It's a good size.
No, it's a good shovel. Yeah.
Well, he's got a, Fisher Playhouse shovel.
It's like one of those ones that kids use at the beach, the little beach sand shovel. It's like Miami boy brought up that.
Little tiny thing. Yeah.
Guys, we are super pumped to be back because honestly, it's been a couple weeks. It's been, obviously, everybody knows it's been a little crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The holidays, world is wild. Holidays, traveling. So thank you guys for bearing with us. And we are super excited to be back for this episode. Episode number 25. We are officially a quarter way to 100 episodes.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think that, we just hit our year. We just sent out to all of our Patreons. Thank you so much for joining us and being the backbone of our podcast. We just sent you guys out exclusive merch that is not in stores. Okay, this is an authentic 100% indestructible, might be destructible keychain. All right,
right,
that we are sending you guys so that you can lock up your keys. We're also sending you a just a plethora of stuff. I mean, I got the 1 year pin that nobody else will have. Okay, the
1 year exclusive
pin. Exclusive 1 year pin for being our 1 year Patreon, and we send some stickers. So we love you. Thank you so much for sticking with us the entire time.
Yes, we've said it before. We'll say it again. We appreciate you guys, all of our patrons, for supporting us. And this week, we also have a cool shout out. If you listened to our last episode, you'll remember we talked to Grant from Rise Magic, a personal friend of ours. And he actually was so kind as to thank us for having him on the podcast. And Rise Magic sent us some really cool custom playing cards.
Nice. Look at those playing
with their
cards.
Branding. And guys, honestly, these are really cool. If you guys haven't checked out Rise Magic yet, please do so. Yeah. Check them out on Instagram, on YouTube. They have like 300,000 followers and they're really just crushing it with the magic stuff. And these cards are mad cool. They're super cool. Like they got neat designs. Custom illustrations and stuff like that. So guys, if you are interested in doing that, go to Rise Magic's website and check them out on YouTube as well.
Dude, awesome, man. Grant's just been such a cool partner with us, and we really appreciate the fact that he is and how giving and generous he is. So thank you, Grant. We appreciate you.
Yes. And I think that brings us up to our nightly news, Mauricio. I gotta say, man, it's weird not being in the same place. The energy is different.
I feel like you're far.
Yeah. If I could just reach out, and just, but there's always one thing that brings us together
yes.
in times like these. And that is our nightly news. And of course, classic Graceful Grizzly fashion, we got a animal story tonight. And so the first story we're talking about here is a starfish that has, I think, recently been discovered. And yes, it looks exactly like ravioli.
Well, it's a weird thing when nature copies what, man is doing. Like, usually man,
right,
you know, copies nature. But nature is copying Chef Boyardee, apparently.
Right, right. And you look at this thing, it's got, like, even, like, the little, like, the edges around, like, the crimping of the shell. It legit looks like I could pick it up and eat it.
Yeah, man. Give me some meat sauce.
Yeah, drizzle that thing in some marinara. Drizzle that
poor little starfish in some meat sauce and give it to me.
It's truly a wonder of the sea. It's been nicknamed the ravioli starfish. Mm-hmm. And, I think it's a big month for it's a big month for starfish, I think, you know, just looking at the cool things that are happening in the sea. There's so many things in the sea too, Mauricio, that we just haven't discovered yet. It's amazing to me that at this time, you know, in 2020, we're still discovering new things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the fact that there's so many, like, and here's the thing, the ocean is a lot deeper than we think it is. And it's a lot scarier, I think. Like, whenever I think about how deep the actual ocean is and how, like, you can actually, like, it's like, you know, the deepest chasm, you know, trench down there, yeah, is like 5 Empire State Buildings deep, you know, like, it's awesome. Just insane. Like, it freaks me out how many, like, anglerfish are probably down there, you know?
Well, you have a healthy fear of the ocean, having grown up near it, I think. Experienced it to the point where you respect it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's definitely something to be respected, especially, like, if you're out there on a boat and you're, like, you know, you've been on the water before with your dad and stuff, like, you know, like, oh, yeah, it, the weather can change and then you better know how to swim, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The way that we treat a snowstorm up here, I feel like, is the way you guys treat, like, a hurricane, like, ripping through your neighborhood and you're like, yeah, okay, you know, it's just another thing, like, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
Why is everybody shutting down? What's the deal? Like, you
know? Yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, it's crazy what goes on down there. Now, what's funny about this ravioli, and we'll post the picture on our Instagram, but it says its shapely physique was called thick on Twitter.
So there you go. You know, Twitter would do that to a starfish.
Twitter needs to relax. Okay. You don't want to objectify a starfish, okay? It's a good looking starfish. It's great.
It's a beautiful thing.
I would eat it. Now, the fact with starfish is that their exoskeleton is on the outside. So really, if you bite into it, you probably break your teeth.
Ouch.
But that's just science, you know?
That's science. Again, Mauricio coming through with the oceanic knowledge, you know?
the nautical
skills.
Yeah.
Amazing, right, man. Well, dude, I love that. I love starfish. It reminds me of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes.
It's all good stuff, you know? And we have another amazing story over here. And this one is a bit of a head scratcher for you, Mauricio. Okay. I'm excited to hear what you think. You've heard of, you know, the concept of hiring a hitman, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Crazy, right? Well, imagine, like, what if I told you, Mauricio, that a father in China hired a hitman to kill his son?
Well, that's messed up.
So messed up, right?
Right.
What if I told you I agree with his decision?
Why?
I know, I'm a bad guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually pretty funny. He's sorry. The dad got so fed up, right, with his son playing video games all day. And I guess he's unemployed. You know, son, yeah, like 23-year-old kid, this dad actually hired a virtual hitman to go kill his son in these online video games, like, over and over again.
Wow.
In hopes that his kid would get frustrated and give up video games.
That is like extreme parenting. That is like really crazy.
Yeah, it's I gotta say, like, I was pretty impressed that this dad would even, like, know how to go about doing that. Like, well, how do you find someone?
Yeah, who's out there that's like, I'm so good at video games, hire me to kill your son's video game character, because, like, I'll do it. I'll do it for a nominal fee and you will be happy about it.
Right. Like, was this a Craigslist ad? Like, hey, hire, you know, virtual hitman, you know, reasonable rates, 10 years gaming experience. I don't know, man.
I mean, I get it. I feel like it is, it does become an addiction, and then somebody just has to take it away from you, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, definitely. I would not want to be a dad in that situation. I feel like that's hard. You know, you got a kid that's kind of not really doing anything with his life, and he's at the point where he should be. I guess this is one way to go about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's saying here the son was pretty much obsessed with the playing the video game and playing it for 14 hours a day. And it's just like, I don't know, man. I don't think I've ever been that obsessed. Now, I will say, when we played Zelda with my cousins and stuff, we played that till like 2-3 in the morning, and then we'd sleep until like noon, 2 o'clock, you know? Sure. And we had the official gaming guide, and we're like, oh, super cool. But definitely was never, and I guess this is, this would be a multiplayer game. And so I was never that obsessed with multiplayer. I wasn't a big multiplayer person. Like, I liked James Bond and 64.
Oh yeah.
I liked Halo. Halo was pretty good. But I wasn't really too much. Were you into multiplayer?
Actually, yeah, a little bit. And in recent years, I like some online video games. You know, I saw a really interesting video about video games recently, where it was saying like the way that they're kind of crafted is actually really and the way they can be addicting. And I'm not saying like that all video games are evil or anything, but the way that they can be addicting is because of the way that they treat mm-hmm. like sort of your brain looks for rewards. And the way that video games are built, you get these incremental rewards over like every so often. And it's kind of a feedback loop that keeps you wanting to continue progress, right? And like level up mm-hmm. and continue to get that reward every once in a while.
Oh, there's definitely a psychology to video games that probably even video game developers have like hacked into.
Oh, and like,
no, okay, if I give them a certain amount of like, you know, achievements here, then they're going to want to keep playing till the end, kind of thing.
Right, definitely. Yeah, and there's certain people that are really prone to getting, you know, really hooked on that. And specifically, people with ADHD have a... And I was actually, so I was recently diagnosed with ADHD in recent years. Mm-hmm. So I've done a bunch of research on it, right? And thought about it a lot. And for people like me, or people whose brains are, you know, have the same sort of chemistry, video games are like, can be addicting for people like that. Also because of the way that the ADHD brain actually like looks for rewards and kind of lacks some of the reward like chemical, like that dopamine. So, so they look for certain activities that give them that sort of reward.
Dude, that's actually crazy.
Yeah, it's mad interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I like the fact that it does serve its purpose when it comes to like people with ADHD and need that hit. But it I can see how quickly it could become like,
right?
Okay, I'm not just playing this for pleasure anymore. I'm playing this because I need to.
Right, because there's a sort of a dependence on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it gets dangerous. Yeah,
dude, that's insane. I don't think I was ever, I don't think, like, my cousin was really, he would get so upset if something happened where we couldn't play that day, or like if like a power surge happened and then your game is gone and then you don't know where you saved last.
Right. Yeah.
Oh man, that was, so, and he would be even more upset if like a virtual hitman came out of nowhere like killed him.
Yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than just getting wrecked over and over again. So I bet this was probably effective.
Oh, crazy.
Keep that crazy one in mind stuff for when your girls are older and, you know, they like get into video games. Like,
dude, it's going to be out of this world, man.
Right? Out of this world. Speaking of out of this world, Mauricio, there is an amazing story we heard about something that happened off world. So we actually, scientists believe that they have detected radio bursts. So these are actually radio signals detected from a planet deep in space.
Ooh.
And they believe that this link with these radio waves could give us a new way to actually examine alien worlds.
Dude.
So
I don't know.
It's
how crazy. Much do you want to keep poking into the universe is what I think.
Right. Because ignorance is bliss. Frankly.
I don't want to know. I mean, I don't like if somebody like here's the thing. I feel like if anybody just straight up tells you, hey, by the way, aliens do exist, would you really believe them?
Well, if I heard radio stations playing from outer space, maybe, you know, like,
right.
What are they playing? Like, this is crazy. Like, what are these radio stations? What are these radio waves?
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be naturally occurring, I would imagine, unless they really do just have their radios on full blast. And
yeah. Well, I'm thinking aliens are just listening to like Justin Bieber and everything that we have, you know?
Right.
They're just like, yeah.
Now, but do you really think they're tapping into our radio stations? I would imagine. Is our music like, that good?
Nickelback, yeah. There's obviously no form of intelligent life down there if they're listening to this.
Well, and they would be getting, because of the distance, they'd be getting radio stations from probably like a couple decades ago, right? So they'd be getting
the
like
science the behind it. So yeah. They'd be listening to Green Day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Like, they're just, like, rocking out.
Yeah, he's like, oh, these people are dumb. We're not going down there. Makes sense, though. Oh, my gosh, dude. I think you cracked the code here.
I mean, if you were an alien and you came and the first experience you had with humanity was 90s radio, pop radio.
Yeah.
Like, what would your impression be?
Somebody once told me the world.
Oh, dude, my gosh.
That would be like, you know how when you're like younger in like grade school and you say, okay, we're going to do a time capsule.
Yes.
Of like, you know, all this stuff that's going to go into like the time capsule so that in 50 years, like I would put a copy of Shrek 1. Because that's like, that's what, if aliens want to know what we're about, it's Shrek 1.
That sums it up. That's that sums up humanity right there.
Dude, that's it. I mean,
especially, you know, in the 90s.
Oh yeah, 90s. Like that, I'd probably put slap bracelets. I'd probably put silly bands. Oh, I'd probably put in there.
I mean,
yeah, if the aliens want to know what we're about.
Right. That's, yeah. Oh my gosh. I just hope that their first impression, you know, I just hope they're not let down. Like, imagine if we discovered intelligent life in outer space.
Yeah.
But like, it was, when we got there, it was basically just like the 90s. Like, the
all these aliens are like in like baggy FUBU pants and like Vans.
Like, wouldn't we be like a little disappointed?
Like, I'd be like, what? You guys? What?
Like, oh man. Okay. That was anticlimactic.
I
don't
know. I kind of probably want to live there because I, you know, it's the 90s. Right. You know, that's like right. The best time period, I feel like, you know.
Yeah. Could we do that?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Could we like have designated, like continents that it's like, you know, if you want to be like, if you want to like just live in the 80s, maybe that was like your peak, you know, you just like, you just moved to Africa. Like that's where they, you know, they're still in the 80s over there.
Yeah. Why don't we do that? Why don't we have, I would just make different civilizations live by different time, you know? So like, if I want to microwave something, I'm not going to go to like the 1940s island. I have to go to like the 1980s and 90s island because they have microwaves, you know?
What a wild concept.
Dude, I'm telling you, crazy.
Those graceful grizzly guys, there's something else.
Mysterious space signal. It's counting crows. Yep.
Yeah, and we saw some cool pictures of Pluto, too. If you guys haven't seen that and you're into science, look up video or the pictures of Pluto. Man, that looks like a straight-up Star Wars planet.
It does. It looks like a Star Wars planet. It also, I was thinking about it, also looks like a Jawbreaker. But
yeah, good point.
It kind of looks like one of those like crazy looking lollipops. Good. I mean, I was sad when they said it wasn't a planet.
I think a lot of us were.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up thinking one thing and then they just threw it in our face.
Yeah, dude. So look it up. Look up, guys, Pluto, newest pictures, and it'll pop right up. And it's an awesome, awesome look. I'm glad it exists. I'm glad you're a planet, Pluto, if you're listening.
Yeah, if you're out there. As you know, we love science around here. So
Yep.
Fun stories. And I think that brings us up to our quick questions.
Dude, here we go.
So you guys sent us some good ones this week. I will be honest, I took some time to think about them, and it was pretty fun. So the first question here is from Alicia, our good friend and fan. And she said, I like this twist. She's twisting it on us. One positive thing that came out of 2020, Mauricio.
Yeah. One positive thing. I think I think closer relationships with people on not just a like superficial level. Because obviously, I mean, we started the podcast in November and then we got into this, you know. It was just such a cool thing to like see the world get closer to each other without having to like, you know, be around each other. Like you would think, could they do it? You know? And there was like just so many people that were quarantined that found a way to like be closer. And then we felt more grateful because like you had something taken away, like human interaction. And then like now you realize like, oh man, I miss going to a restaurant, or I miss, you know, like those kind of things make you like thankful for those kind of things. So that's how I saw it. I was like, dude, this is, you know, such a cool like idea that we were just like, you know, we had to find ways to basically like be together.
Yeah, I love that. I definitely agree with you. The thing that I first thought of was just how creative people got this year. I think that a lot they say like, you know, what is a necessity breeds creativity or breeds, you know, invention or whatever. Like we are all, and we have these innate desires to be with people and be with friends and family. And then, you know, the government saying like, hey, you can't do that. Like it's going to be dangerous for you. So we found new and creative ways to connect with people. I know like at work, we had some meetings where we would play like a little game online, you know, like a little Pictionary game or something as a team. And we would do that. I know a lot of people actually became a lot more intentional about keeping in touch with people because it was at the forefront of their mind. You know, it's like almost like once you don't realize what you have until it's taken away. And then you kind of get, like you said, you just become grateful.
Yeah. I felt like, you know, that one moment where we were basically quarantined together essentially.
Yeah.
And, it was funny. Like when we, you know, walked out and sat on the hill and just like, you know, had like that, you know, half an hour of just like our families together talking.
Yeah.
And we're still social distancing, obviously, but like we were just talking and it just like, it was just a nice moment. Like I'll remember that moment forever because it was like, it was just a nice, like it was a beautiful day. We're enjoying the outside. It was nice to get outside and then to see other people after being locked down for like, you know, so long. Yeah. And so it was just like a nice moment where I was just like, man, this is, you know, we should do this more often is what I thought, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think going forward, if and when things start to clear up and people are back together, I think we'll all have sort of a new appreciation for family and friends and relationships.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like we will, but yeah. Awesome question, Alicia.
Yeah, definitely a good question. I like the spin. I like trying to keep things positive. We've been talking about a lot of negative this year, and so that one's cool. We got another awesome question here from Cheeto Can. I hope I say that right. It's Cheeto Can or Cheeto Can, and they're asking us, would you rather live without internet or without coffee?
Dude, these would you rather questions are always...
they're always nail biters. It's like, I don't know, this is stressful, you know?
I'm going to say... internet. I don't think I can live without internet because I realized, and yes, I know I'm giving up caffeine.
Wait, oh, I'm sorry. You're saying you would rather live without coffee?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I got you. I thought you were saying the other way around.
Oh, you know what? Shocked. Yeah. Let me, okay. Hold on. Yeah. Yeah. It's internet. So I would rather give up internet.
Oh, you would rather give up internet for coffee? Oh, dang. What? Okay. Explain.
So I need caffeine. Okay. Need caffeine.
It's as simple as that.
But you know what? Let me, now that I got to think about this really, like I realize how much I use the internet. This is tough.
Yeah. That was what came to mind for me. It was like, man, if I didn't have internet, like I couldn't do my job. I couldn't, you know, do a lot of the things that I like to do.
Yeah.
Like, things I like to do online, shows I like to stream. Man, imagine having to buy DVDs again. It'd be rough.
Yeah. I don't know. Now I got to think about it. But then like, dude, I'm just so addicted to coffee.
But you got
like,
your eye on that nectar. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's like, even if I have internet with no coffee, I'm pretty much useless. Like, I just can't.
You think you could switch to tea?
That's like when you go to a restaurant and you're like, oh, can I have a Coke? And then they say, is Pepsi okay?
And you're like, no, I didn't ask for Pepsi. I said Coke.
Dude, some people swear Pepsi's better.
We should do a poll, I think. Get our listeners in on that, you know?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to side with you. I'll give up coffee.
I think you'll thank me for this later.
Yeah. I think I'll give up coffee. I guess I'll, you know, there's got to be something better than tea.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I'll drink some of that Hustle Energy.
There you go. See?
Yeah, dude. Hey.
There's always alternatives.
Seriously.
Well, that's a good question. Definitely a hard choice. We both love our caffeine. We both love our internet. So, you know, these would you rathers are always stressful. I feel like I'm really in that situation trying to give something up.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, speaking of Hustle Energy, the people that are going to keep us going when we give up coffee, we got our friend Trent from Hustle Energy that he's sending us a question and he's asking us, if you were to make a rom-com, who would you pick to play the lead roles?
Oh, so this one's tough because I was like, there's so many actors out there. And so my first thought was like Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, because they always, whenever they do their rom-coms, you know, like 50 First Dates, Blended, like they always kill it. Like they always have such a great chemistry.
True.
And then I thought about Jim Carrey and, the lady from The Mask. I'm blanking on her name right now.
Oh my, I can't remember.
Dude, how can I not remember her name now?
I thought that was her name. The lady from The Mask.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. No, I was with you. You know,
Cameron Diaz.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah. So I thought about them, and then I landed on two people that I haven't seen do a rom-com, but Jason Momoa and Emilia Clarke. I have never seen Game of Thrones, but they were cast members on Game of Thrones. And I just think it would be kind of cool to make these like gritty kind of actors do just a really like a Hallmark cheesy movie together.
Yeah. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of break them out of their role, like their typical role. So that was what I was thinking. The people I said was Gal Gadot. I think it's Gadot.
Yep.
Gal Gadot. The woman that played Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And James Franco.
Dude.
And so I think, and I spent way too long thinking about this question. So thank you, Hustle Energy, for making me like sit there for way too long thinking about this. But so Gal Gadot from Wonder Woman, I think I've only ever seen her really in Wonder Woman. She was amazing. And I think she was also very sort of, she was sweet, but she was like a very strong and very like sort of intense figure, right, in this movie. And so I thought, man, it'd be cool to see her in more of like a rom-com, like comedy, like breaking out of that like sort of like tough sort of demeanor. And I thought, okay, so she's got this like sort of buttoned up. Maybe she's like, you know, high in business or something like that. And then James Franco maybe is like sort of a deadbeat, like goofball dude. Like, and like there's just like the, you know, the match that should never have happened or something.
It's funny with Gal Gadot. She's like, she was on Saturday Night Live, and like all the cast members were like intimidated by her because she was like so tall, you know, and she's like, her culture is just so like, you know, it's just, it feels like it's above, you know, certain levels of like, you know, just like cultural awareness. Like it's at 100 times, you know, and she just like, yes, in my country, we do this and that. And like all the cast members were like just staring at her, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I think it's funny to like put her in that kind of role. That would be kind of cool.
And give her like a goofy actor on the other side to kind of break her out of her shell.
You know? Yeah, because I feel like she could be funny.
I think so. Yeah. I can see it in her eyes.
In her eyes?
Something about her. She's funny, yeah. Well, that's great. Those are great answers, man. I like the ones you picked. I like this question. That's a fun question.
So what do we got now? Last one?
So we got one more quick question here before we jump into a very cool and special deeper dive. Ooh. And so the last quick question here comes from at Pineapple Pizza Rock, our good friends. And they're asking, how long do you think you would last in a zombie apocalypse? This is an age-old question.
I put about an hour.
I love the honesty.
No, I think I'd last. I mean, the issue, I think, with zombie apocalypse, like, one, I think you need people.
Yes.
I think you need people around you to, like, help you kill the zombies.
Right.
And you need to know your way around a couple weapons, at least.
True.
You know, I already know you know your way around a shotgun, dude. So
I try.
We're going to team up on this.
That's right. It's all about, yeah, it's all about having that network of people, right? And we know a few people that have a few, you know, a little bit of an arsenal. So I think maybe we'd be okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'd be in a position where we can probably last quite a few years but I think food, you know, we got to figure out food. We got to figure out, you know, how to keep the zombies at bay from, you know, I think the issue too is it going to be like a Walking Dead situation? You know, are we just going to be,
right.
You know, are they going to survive winter? You know, the zombies, are they just going to get frozen? I mean,
my question is always like, which type of zombies are they? Cause like the Walking Dead ones, I feel like are more manageable than like the ones in like what was that, World War Z or something like that?
Oh, World War Z ones are ridiculous.
Where they're like running and they're super fast and they're like strong. Like,
not okay with that.
That's just ridiculous. That is not, those are not zombies.
Yeah. No, they're like Usain Bolt and they're zombies. Like, no.
Like if every human was Usain Bolt and then became a zombie, like that's what would happen.
I couldn't survive this if they weren't zombies. You're going to tell exactly. You're going to make them zombies now? Yeah, I would probably go a couple of years. I think, yeah, I think fortress. You got to figure out a fortress. Yep. You got to figure out food, shelter, you know, like within the fortress, like, you know, bedding and all this other stuff. And then I think we'd last a good time. We just got to find the right, you know, place to set up camp. I feel like that's the most important thing.
I think it's all about who you know. What places you have access to, I think.
Yeah, and don't pick a farm. And don't stay on the farm for the entire two seasons, all right? Oh, is that just The Walking Dead? Yeah, it was The Walking Dead.
If we've learned anything from The Walking Dead, it's that. It is that.
Oh, that was the worst. They're like on that farm for so long.
Dude.
I was like, oh, guys, come on. And then Shane went crazy. It was just insane.
Oh, classic Walking Dead, though. I haven't watched the last couple seasons, but the first few seasons, man, they're bangers. They're good. So thank you guys so much for the questions. These are great questions this week. It feels good to be back in the studio, even though we're not together. Yeah. We have a very, very cool deeper dive coming up that we're very excited to share with you guys. So please stick around and we'll see you soon.
All right. All right, so welcome back to the Graceful Grizzly podcast. My name is Mauricio, and we have a special guest this week. Mark is a visual genius, is what he's been called before. His hair shines like a thousand suns. He is the creative and owner of the amazing Finding Co. They are an awesome company that I just am dying to find out more of. And him and his wife do an awesome job. They recently took actually our family pictures and they did an amazing job. So guys, give it up for Mark Geddes.
Yes. What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Mark, we're super excited to have you on. And just to be fair, Mark did not have quite the same lead up that a lot of our guests get. It's going to be quite off the cuff, but I have no doubt that he's going to just kill it. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people get the questions ahead of time, but I can already tell Mark and I, you know, we had this connection instantly where I'm like, I think this guy's got it in the bag. So we are really excited to have you on, Mark, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a longtime fan, first time guest. It's a beautiful thing. That's what people always say. So I was like, I'll say that. I'll use that. Yeah.
That's such a podcasty radio type thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge fan of the show. Listen to the last episode. Really big fan of the show. Like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I read your book. It was great.
Cover to cover, front and back covers only. Love it.
So Mark, just a little background on it. I mean, Mark, I met you last year? Or this year.
Yes.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we just kind of hit it off. We were at a youth event and just kind of, I don't know, I guess it was just like a connection on so many emotional levels. No, it was basically just we kind of vibed there and you told me, hey, I've got this company and I'm doing all this stuff. And I thought it was super awesome. And seriously, I think everything you're doing with the Finding Co. is awesome. Your website is amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. It's simple. It's very simple, but I really appreciate that. And I'm going to be honest with you. 90% of anything that you're like, oh, Mark's great at, it's all my wife. I'm going to sell myself out right now.
That's for all everyone.
Pretty much. But she is like the driving force of it. And I'm just like the guy who's like, we should make this a business, you know? Yeah. But we work very, very well together. We complement it, you know, our skills complement each other really well. So,
what's the essence of your company, you think, is like,
yeah. So our, you know, our tagline or our mission statement, is, finding your story and telling it well. And so that's like, it's artful, but it's also generic enough to kind of encompass the different organizations and individuals that we work with. So all the way down to the individual, which, like, for example, you guys and your family photos, you know, you wanted a session and it was like right after a big blizzard. So like, it was awesome environment, fresh snow in a park. You know, go make you freeze your butt off for 20 minutes to get some photos. But then all the way like up to, you know, a large organization, like a nonprofit or a for-profit, people starting a small business that they really like, they know what they want to do. And they kind of have an idea of who they want to reach, but then like we fill in the gap, you know, I'm going to provide this good or service, or I'm starting a church or whatever it is that they're doing. And these are this is who I think is going to be interested. And then all of this is what we do, you know, well, let's make it look really good and let's figure out how to write the copy really well. And let's get the branding figured out and build the show social strategy and just like all that stuff. Like, I mean, I don't know, you guys run a podcast, like, you know, it's like you do this, the thing, and you have the people that want to get the thing. And then like, even like doing social media for your own thing is like, it's a lot, you know, because you just, and you're biased because you're pouring your heart and soul into it, you know, like, so we come in and just fill in that gap and help people. Because sometimes when you're so entrenched in something, you know, like people always say, like, never brand, even if you're a graphic designer, like, never brand your own stuff. Like, if you're so entrenched in something, it's hard to really understand the essence of it or what other people see about it. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm gonna get super deep and whatever, but like,
no, you know, like, it's true.
So you know how like when you see yourself in a photo, it's weird because we really only see like a mirrored image of ourselves. Like my hair always goes this way, but then like in the mirror, like I see it one way, but then when I look at a photo, I'm like, oh, my hair, it goes the, what's that about? Like,
yeah.
You ever like,
you don't recognize yourself totally? Yeah.
Yeah, because you're just like literally like mirrored on a, you know, on a.
Yeah.
Vertical. So like, so sometimes people, like, we worked with a team who's an audiovisual company that, they've been in the industry for 30 years. It's a family business. And they just like, they're so focused on just always being incredible at what they do that they don't have the time or energy or effort to step back and like, be like, well, there's value to the story that we are a family company. There's value to the story that, you know, this, and there's value. Like people, I mean, like, it's like anytime you like learn about a company to the point that you're like, oh yeah, I like this company because they do this, they do this, they do this. Like, I feel like we all use Amazon because it's super cheap, but no one's like, I mean, I don't know anyone who's like, yes, they are so incredible, you know, like a great family, small business family,
right,
like,
right.
I'm really helping, you know, like, no, they just like get you stuff in literally a day, you know, but, so yeah, I just, that's a lot of what we do. So, I mean, that can, like I said, individuals all the way up to the organization.
Yeah. That actually, I connect with that really well. So like a little background story, like just info, like I work in graphic design. I do web design specifically. And I started in graphic design, and I've always found what you said, branding yourself, to me is the hardest thing. Because I just don't really fully understand myself almost. It's like, how do I come off to people, and how do people see me, and what kind of things do they associate me with? It's really hard to do when you're, you know, not the third party looking at yourself. So I love that you said that. I think that's really cool. And I feel like it gives a whole new weight to what you guys do, stepping in as that third party to help people tell their story.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah. So, damn. I mean, like, I don't know who I heard that from, but I heard it years ago, like never brand your own thing. Like I'm working on something right now, myself and a partner, we're both graphic. It's not a graphic design thing, but we're both graphic designers. And we're like, oh, well, we could brand this ourselves. But we're like, no, we're going to go to someone else because we know we'll just be much happier with it if someone else takes a fresh take on it. So
that's really interesting. Yeah.
That's good. So Mark, how'd you get into the creative art field? Like how were you born knowing how to layer in Photoshop? Were you just born understanding waves? Like, you know,
I want to know. No, I'm in a lot of ways self-taught. And then I did go to college for media production, but I kind of got bit by the bug when I was like 12 or 14. Like I was a kid, I grew up in like a small church and like got to like run the sound at one point. And that was like literally like it was like a microphone built onto the podium, and I would like turn it up and turn it down and like hit record on a CD burner. But I thought I was like Inspector Gadget, like, which doesn't, the analogy doesn't hold up because like that stuff's all inside of him, right? He's actually kind of an idiot. If you watch like the show, Inspector Gadget's kind of a moron. He just has all these gadgets, right? But I thought I was, I guess, I don't know. And so I really like, I liked that. And then, you know, like saved up all my money and went to Best Buy and bought a used camcorder. And then worked a summer job like mulching and mowing lawns and bought like the oldest like MacBook, you know, get my hands on or whatever. And like started making movies in iMovie and making music in GarageBand. And just like, I just got like the idea of like, I can use computers to make things, and this is really cool. And I was probably in that like the earliest age of like my home computer had Paint. It was really old, but it had MS Paint. And so like the idea that I could make something with a computer, like I'm terrible, like stick drawings, you know, like I'm awful with my hands. I don't possess a lot of like natural skill like that, but like I learned at a young age, like, oh, I can manipulate software to get the result I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, like, it's like any kid though, you're like, you're making movies about like, you know, you paint over the tips of your airsoft guns, and you're making movies about like guys out there shooting each other because that's like super cool at the time or whatever. But so it's very young got into it.
Okay.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can tell already that you're obviously a really creative guy. You and your wife both are very creative. You do a lot of different things, and your expertise covers a lot of different areas, which I imagine is, I would guess that that's simultaneously really cool, but also probably challenging to explain sometimes what you guys do. So I'm just curious, how would you go about sort of explaining what you guys do? I know you mentioned your tagline a little bit and stuff like that, but is that ever a challenge to just explain?
It's not. Usually when we're having conversations with people, like, I think it's really easy to just say that you do media, and then they like, yeah, like even like there's these like skill trees that branched off behind that word for like miles and miles. You can just, like, I do media, you know, and like if someone doesn't like mentally like know any more than that, like it's totally cool. Like, yeah, because I do like live event production, and you know that the Finding Co doesn't do that. I do. I've been doing that for years. I do that. We do the Finding Co branding. I do like sound system building. Like I do all this stuff that's like all kind of, but I can just like, yeah, I do media. I work with computers, you know. It's like those memes that are like what my friends think I do, what my mom thinks I do, like, you know. But so yeah, I think that's the easiest way to do it. It's just distill it into one word.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Just kind of speak the language of the person you're talking to.
Yes.
And like working with clients, I mean, you work in all these different capacities. Do you ever, like, I'm curious, what is your experience kind of balancing like client expectations and desires and what they think they need versus sometimes your expertise telling you something different and saying, no, I really think you need this. Like, how do you balance those two worlds?
Yeah. So I am still learning this one, man. I'll be honest. You know, like I'm an optimist when I'm talking to people, and I'm a dreamer, and I'm an Enneagram 3. So like the task list is exciting to me. Right. And so like, it's easy in like a discovery call with a client to be like, yeah, and we could, like, I use the word could, we could do this. And like, it's easy, to lose track of what your time and ability is, and turn those coulds into have tos, and then you're disappointed. And so there's a lot of people out there who are like, you know, you want to sell low, but like still shoot high because you want to surprise the client. I think there's a balancing act to that, because a lot of people that do that, it's like they charge a lot of money for a lower perceived value, and then hopefully they deliver above that value. And so then you always want to deliver above value. You want the clients to be like, you know, you want, like, that's the end, like the end of the day, you want the client to just be like so incredibly happy with your work, you know. But you don't want to intentionally aim low, and then they're paying for like this lower value product, and they're like, and then they're like, oh wow, like I didn't expect that. And you're like, yeah, I knew all along I was going to do this, you know. The harder clients, I think, are the ones who just like, they either know enough to be dangerous, and so they've already committed to some decisions before you arrived on the scene. And so like, they're like, you're just kind of like, now you're building something around what they've done, or like they are just very dead set on, I know my audience. Like, you know, I see this like sometimes with pastors, I see this with like sometimes with small business owners, like they'll say like, I know my people. They can or they can't do blankety blankety blank. So like they put these huge limits on. I did a website for an organization, and they had like the head of the organization had done the logo in like Microsoft Word art. And so like the branding, I'm doing a fresh website. Like, and when we do websites, it's not just like part of our website design is like go and take photos, because that's a really big strength of ours. So like we build photo packages, like, and so I'm like, you're not just gonna get like, you know, stock photos of people that have never walked in your front door, you know. And so I'm doing all this work, and then I get to like the, okay, let's build the branding out for the design, but I'm stuck to like the font choices he made 5 or 10 years ago. And I even said, like, I'm like, I got to a point where I was like, listen, I'll rebrand this like for nothing, just because I want to be able to show off.
It annoys me.
Yeah. I mean, there's a portfolio element to it, like, obviously, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I just feel like I'm like, did you have Legos as a kid?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so like, but you know, like the ones for like the toddlers, like the huge Legos.
Yeah.
You know those. So like when I was a kid, there were like two or three of those always like floating around in my like regular Legos, and they can't do anything with them. And that's how I felt. But I felt like I had to design everything around the toddler Lego. And I'm like,
right.
All right.
Like 17 regular Legos go into that one. You're like, okay, this is how that works.
Sure.
Jeez. Yeah. That's so frustrating.
It happens. Yeah. And you just, you know, and you ultimately, like, they're paying you for a service. You know, there's a lot of graphic designers who are like, this is my art, and you can't, like, you're not like Gordon Ramsay. Like, you know, right. Even he like takes it to like your people are paying you for a service. And if they, you know, they're paying for your expertise and your, you know, decision-making and your whatever, but ultimately like you can't strong arm them into that decision. Sometimes you need to back it up with data or research or, you know, hey, here's an example of why I'm doing this. You know, walk them through. So
that's good.
Cause art is subjective for sure.
Yeah. Because if you actually choose those things for them and then a couple years later, they're like, oh, this is so bad. It's really on, you know, on you that in their eyes and their perception forced it on them, you know, and they, everybody can make up their own story, but it's just, man. And I've done websites for people that I'm just like, okay, we're going to do this for this amount of money. And this is all you're getting. And they were super happy with it. And then I had people that I really were like, this has got to be it. This is the look for you. This is, and they were like, no, this is absolute garbage. So it's tough, man. It's tough, especially when you're like in the zone, you know, of like designing and you're excited. Are there any things that you do, Mark, to get in the zone when you're designing, like music, rituals, stuff like that? I know coffee's a big thing for you.
So, yeah, I mean, I do love coffee. I try to keep my coffee intake very low. Like I want to enjoy, like I drink coffee that's kind of like expensive because like I get it from a local roaster in town. Little Amps. It sounds really bougie. It's just a really good roaster. They're single origin. So like coffee is expensive, but also like, I don't want it to be like, oh man, I'm hooked on caffeine because I've been there and it's like the worst. So, just change the environment. It kind of stinks that like, you know, like malls and stuff are like pretty limited capacity or like, it's just, I really don't want to go into crowds right now, but like I used to walk through the mall and just like, look at like the H&M posters or look at like what different, like I would go and not look at the product, but look at how they're selling me the product. And I would also like get pizza from Sbarro's, but like, I would like, that was like if I was like in a rut or whatever, when I was working on something for a while, like I would just go to the mall and just walk and look at how they were trying to get my attention. And that would always, you know, that would always do it for me. I put on a movie you've seen a billion times. So it's like someone's taught, like, you know, I've seen the Avengers movies a billion times. Even the bad Iron Man movies, like I'll just put them on because like they're there. Which, I mean, let's be honest, there isn't a bad Iron Man movie, but that's a really bad hot take. It's a really bad hot take, and I know it.
You like Whiplash. You like Whiplash.
I was in high school, and I'm watching those suit up sequences, and I was like, you could delete the rest of the movie and I would still have paid like $13 to go to the theater and watch the like 45 second sequence of like him picking up a briefcase and like it turns into a suit. Like, yeah, you got my money. I'm there. I'm done. See,
I can't believe you paid for movies. Yep. I snuck into all my movies in high school.
I couldn't do it. I'd get so nervous, man. I couldn't do it. I tried to. Couldn't do it.
Dude, there's always like a back door and you kind of just leave that open, but
I've like so much like strong guilt. I could never.
Did you ever sneak into a movie, Tyler?
I've done it a few times. I'll be honest.
Oh my gosh, I was
somewhere in the middle. Like I was nervous, but at the same time, I'm like, all right, well, let's do it. Let's just do it.
Oh, there's no justification for it though. There's...
No. Always wrong. But
I could never. When I was in high school, I crashed another high school's prom, but I could never sneak into a movie. Like, and I don't know how those like,
equate, but we all have our things, you know, it's like this, I'm comfortable with this, but not this.
Apparently I'm just a thief.
Oh yeah. Mauricio's got a rough pass. Right. Let's be honest.
Oh my gosh. All right. We got to get through this.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I'm talking about,
this is great, man. It's really incredible.
Dude, I love this. All right. So Mark, what does it take for a person to be successful in a creative career? And this is really, a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs, they're gym rats or people that are trying to build their brand. And a lot of that field, you know, with the creative side of it, is just people hit, you know, like slumps and they don't know. A lot of people comment on the memes I make and they're like, oh, you know, like, how does your brain work that way? I'm just like, I just start doing whatever my brain tells me to do. And I just put pictures to words. But how do you actually have a successful creative career, you think?
Well, career is a long-term word. And so I would say if you are aiming to have a successful creative career, you need to do whatever you can to avoid early signs of burnout. And so first of all, take hustle culture and kick it to the curb. Like, honestly, there's a lot of people out there who are like, rise and grind, let's get this bread. I text other people who are like freelancers or designers and like, we'll like joke, my cats are always needing a blanket. And I'm always like, rise and grind, let's get this bread. Like, I'm like talking to my cats, like I'm like a finance bro. But like, let's be honest though, like
that. You're Gary V to your cats?
I'm Gary V to my cats. Yeah, just like way less profanity, but I'm Gary V to my cats. I'm like, I was selling baseball cards at 12. But like, that's great. That's great for like, it's like a month or two at a time, you know? If you're not planning for giving yourself breaks and giving yourself like intentional time with your family and giving yourself times where you're actually unplugged from work, because when you're self-employed or you're starting a business or you're doing the side hustle shuffle, and you're like trying to get, you know, like your stuff going while you're working and whatever, like you're creating less and less and less and less time for you and for your personal health. So I'm not saying like it's a 50-50. Everyone has a different ratio. What I'm saying is if you're not planning for those times where you're totally unplugged, no one can operate in these like stressful environments for super long term. Like, you need to give yourself a break. You're either going to give yourself a break or a break's going to find you, whether it's mental health, emotional health, physical health. Like, you know, I just got done with a season where I had a ton of work and I was just working around the clock, and it felt really good to be done, but it was very miserable during, and I knew there was an end. The thing that got me through it was I knew there was like an end date on, okay, I have this much bandwidth, but soon I'll be back to, you know, a healthy schedule. So yeah, don't worship the grind or the hustle. Like, embrace it, get up, work hard, wake up early, you know, and embrace it, but don't like worship the hustle. And then I have one more. Can I give you one more?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You take as much time as you need. We gotta fill this. We get paid by the hour.
Yeah. This is a run out the clock type situation. I would say the other thing is commit to being a lifelong learner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are going to deliver a product, but along the way you can slow down a little bit and learn something new, you know, like, well, this could have taken me an hour, but it took me an hour and a half, and I attended a YouTube university course on whatever. Like, be a lifelong learner. Like, you know, there's a lot of like creative agencies out there that like they stopped learning like 20 years ago, and it's very evident, and they have big clients, and they have, you know, I'm sure they have their retainers, and they have like, and then they hire young people to like freshen things up. But like, it's clear that like they just stopped learning. So some of the like industry professionals in anything, like they'll tell you like what their challenges they're facing and what they're trying to learn. Like the people who are like, they have it all figured out and they know it. Like, I kind of stay away from that, you know?
Yeah.
If people can't be honest about their vulnerabilities or, you know, what they don't know, then, you know, it's kind of like an unattainable goal.
Wow. That's awesome. I absolutely love everything you just said between when we last asked a question to now, like that, everything there, like, especially the piece about burnout, like I've definitely, you know, I've been there. I think a lot of people have been there, and I think that's critical, man, because I think that there's a weird pressure. Maybe it's a cultural pressure. Maybe it's just humanity in general, but there's this weird pressure to, just keep going and going and going. And I think especially with like something like a freelance career, like what you do, you know, I'm assuming you do freelance at least part-time, maybe full-time. There's a huge tendency there because you kind of have these seasons, like you were saying, of like a lot of work and very little work, a lot of work. And I think a lot of people get in their head and think, I'm a lesser person if I can't keep up with the grind 24/7, you know, for the rest of my life. And you put a lot of pressure on yourself. Yeah. And no one wins in that situation. I think, we've all, like, I've been there, you know, your family suffers, your social life suffers, your happiness suffers, and you're not more of a man, or you're not a better person in society for that, I don't think.
Yeah. That's really good. That's really, really good. I follow this account that's like really, really like startup focused, but they're very realistic. And one of the things that they like say oftentimes is just like, shut up about your dreams and just like work at them and then like talk about them. Cause then you're not creating these wild expectations for everyone around you or everyone on social media that you now have to like work to like get to, you know, like just work. Like earlier in this talk, I mentioned something, you know, a partner and I are working on that we're branded. And I was very non-specific because like, I'm not ready to talk about it because it's not out there yet. And so like 5 years ago, I would have told everyone under the sun about what I was planning on doing and set myself this like incredible expectation gap that I could never meet. Or if I did meet, it would require me to work through the night several nights and ignore my wife and, you know, all this other stuff. And so I think it's just kind of learning like what's realistic that you can do as a person.
Are we on time, Tyler?
I think we're coming up to the wire. Actually, I think we're at our, unless you had one more question, Mauricio, you wanted to add in there.
No, I think we're good. I just want to say, as a three, and Enneagram three, it really does, because of the fact that the checklist and the task list is just so amazing to us, and that we love just checking things off. And I find myself, even if I didn't have it on my list, I write it on my list just so that I can check it off.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's hard for us to like slow down, because that's how we get our, you know, our kicks. And I think that even as men, like it, like what Tyler was saying, like we're not more men because we got more stuff done. We're better men if we take care of our wives, if we're with our families, if we love our kids, if we're just good Christians all around. I think that's really what at essence is what our podcast is about, is like, how do we make men better without making them, you know, feel like they're not doing enough, you know, like how do we get over that basically? And so everything you're saying, Mark, is right up what we talk about all the time. So that's really good.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, and you know, the name of the podcast, Graceful Grizzly, you know, like it's all about having some grace on ourselves. And I think Mauricio and I are both people who put a lot of pressure on ourselves sometimes. And we just realized that there's a lot of people out there like that who have a lot of pressure from themselves or from external sources. And so we're all about kind of giving yourself a little bit of grace and giving other people a little bit of grace and just kind of, you know, relaxing a little bit. And so every time we have a guest on the podcast, we always like to ask as our final question, just sort of for you, Mark, what does the word grace mean to you? How does the word grace apply to your life?
That's really good. You know how like sometimes you say, I'm sorry, because you want people to like just because you want people to say like, it's okay. Like if you get an argument, you're like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, the classic, like, I'm sorry. And they say like, I think grace is like truly like hearing it's okay before you even begin to like state your case or like begin.
That's good.
Or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and it's, and you know, like, I think that's what it is. Like, I mean, in a very like huge cosmic scale, you know, if we're talking about it, like in that context, but just in a personal, like, I think it's that, like, it's already been amended. It's already been, it's okay. It's okay.
Making me cry over here, Mark.
I know.
You start teary-eyed.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, it's
good. Yeah, that's good, man. Well, Mark, thanks for coming on, man. I know we hit you up 2 minutes before we started recording and said, hey, would you want to be on here?
No. But
yeah. You killed it, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I'm loving it. Glad to be on the show.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Well, we'll see you guys. Tyler, you stay where you're at because of COVID. And Mark, you stay where you're at. See you guys later.
Yeah. Take care, guys. Thanks again, Mark.